This is the Warcast Reforged, Tales from the Battleline, a podcast about Keyforge, a unique deck game from Ghost Galaxy. Your hosts are Tobin Opus and Jason Wallace.
Episode 33, Seeing the Best.
All right, welcome. I'm Tobin Opus.
And I'm Jason Wallace.
And we're back. So here we are. Game Found is underway.
Yep.
I've listened to a couple podcasts about it. Now, one thing I want to clarify right at the top of this is because we did get a couple pieces of feedback from listeners on last time regarding our home base raffle promotion put in Total Escape for home base thing, right?
Right.
So this is, and we prefaced this then, but I want to stress this once more, is that this is a way to incentivize Total Escape being a home base, getting votes, and getting you listeners who do not have a local game store to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that in order to vote for it, not only does it have to be a local game store, but they also have to be a Game Found backing retailer at
right.
the retailer pledge.
And there needs to be at least three votes.
And there needs to be at least three votes. So put your, until you know, like if you have a retailer that's putting in for Game Found,
yep.
that's local to you, vote for them.
Vote for them, yes.
Do not vote for Total Escape. Do yeah. not vote for them. If you don't have that situation, we're just providing a way for you to right. get some decks.
Yeah, I mean, there could be
other,
yeah, there could be other areas where you're combining, like to pick a local store to help support. Go for that.
Yeah, that's
great. Like, if you can combine resources, because we do have metro areas spread out, where other countries, like, sure, but you know, not everyone has that. Like, some people are just isolated.
Mm-hmm.
They want to play the game, and there's like, or they have a lot of people playing, but their store's just not going to back it, and then they'll get it at retail. It's like, okay, well, they're missing out on that opportunity. We're
right.
helping to provide that opportunity for those that can't get that,
and giving you some kickback as it is, right?
Exactly.
Like, give us the vote. So, how many people listen to this podcast who are backers who are in that situation? Probably a very few of you.
Yeah.
I would hope, right? Because one of the things I looked at before we got online here is that we have 66 retail backers. So that's much better than it was last time we recorded, which I think was like 28 or 17 or something like that, right?
Yep.
So as you might expect, retailers are coming in later.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They don't have to get in on it at the ground floor that first moment.
Yeah.
Because their dollar means very little to the overwhelming campaign.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, unlike with Grim Reminders, retailers now know how this all works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it was kind of out there of like what it was, but now it's like, okay, there's this and here's the other incentive. Let's, you know,
yep.
home base.
Not only how it works, but that it works.
Yeah, that
and
too.
They'll get their product.
Because Ghost Galaxy delivered to the stores that backed it. It's like, yeah, they had product within the week of us getting local product.
Yep.
Like, or backer product, I should mm-hmm. say. Like, mm-hmm. it's like we got our Grim Reminders. It's like, oh, and we could buy from the store this weekend?
I actually,
even better.
Yeah, I think the store beat mine. I think I got mine right when the store did, or they beat mine by a day. I can't quite remember. But
it's all
anyhow,
blur.
Yeah, yeah, anyhow, that's what it is. So I want to start off the top of the show with that we are not intending to buy, we don't intend to buy your vote. We don't want to pull your vote away from anyone, any store who is a backing store who is in your area that you want to support.
Yeah.
We're offering opportunity for those who don't have a backing store
exactly.
to give us a vote.
Yep.
So, all right, let's get started.
Part one, the beginning.
All right, so Game Found updates. We started a top show, right? We clarified things. Game Found updates. After we released, they had 1, 2, 3, 1, 2.
Oh, my gosh.
There were quite a few. First one was Prophetic Visions. They announced the name of the new set.
Yep.
So, and a little spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Prophetic Visions. I didn't spoil, like, yes, I'm giving you the name, but there's nothing here. There's very little here other than a new thing. So if you appreciate spoilers, if you want to avoid spoilers, then go forward to the next spot where the next chapter that I have marked here. So All right, prophetic visions. So it says every prophetic visions deck will feature a new type of card called a prophecy. They will for each foretell a fate that may or may not come to pass with unpredictable consequences. What these prophecies have in store for the Crucible is being closely studied by every philosopher, prognosticator, and from the darkest catacombs to the loftiest observatories. But as they say, fate is inevitable. So with this goal being met,
yep, we get preview cards.
All Ember Skies backers will get prophetic visions preview cards, which should be pretty cool.
That's a lot of PPVP.
Yeah, it is a lot of P's. It allows a lot of P sounds. So what do you think of prophetic visions?
Before we go to the next, I can't remember if I think I saw in a Discord, somewhere on the Discord was, it said that every deck is guaranteed to have one of these visions. So that brought up speculations like, is this going to be like the Tide mechanic?
Each will have a prophecy.
Right. But will it be like a card in the deck, or is there going to be a side card like tokens, like the Tide? That's what I'm interested in.
I don't know.
See.
It just says every prophetic visions deck will feature a new type of card called the prophecy.
Called the prophecy. Yeah.
I think in addition to the four types we already have, it's a fifth type of card.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's using that 38th slot. I don't think that's using the 38th card slot that the Tide used or the token has used.
Okay.
The rules card.
You think it'll
card.
Be just in the regular deck?
I think it'll just be in the regular 36 card deck. Okay. That's my how they wrote it here. It's just a new type of card, right? So, right.
They're
guaranteeing that you get it. Like, just like they guarantee you get a creature, they right. don't guarantee that you get artifacts. They don't guarantee that you get upgrades.
Yeah.
But you are guaranteed to get creatures, and you are guaranteed to get actions. So this will just be one of those things that you're guaranteed to get at least one prophecy. You might get four. Who the hell knows?
Who knows, right? Yeah. But also, they on the game found they had different votes for which prophecy you'd like to see.
Oh, yeah.
Come true.
Yeah.
Missed that one.
Those were really interesting. The whole, like, what kind of votes should we get?
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, these are kind of cool. Let's...
So, yeah, there's quite a few of them. A new Star Alliance leader will crash into the scene. Sorex Rex will sign a treaty with Kallax Stonefather. Equidon will corner the fish market, which is very strange. Nidsok the Forgotten will suddenly be remembered. Dr. Escoterra will make a breakthrough discovery on a remote island. Bad Penny and Rad Penny will resolve their differences. And then the Bumblebirds will unite to overthrow the tyranny of pixies.
So what did you vote for?
I voted for Nidsok the Forgotten will suddenly be remembered because I thought that was the funniest one.
No. Bumblebirds all the way.
Well, then Bad Penny and Rad, as we're looking at this now, Bad Penny and Rad Penny are in second place with 113 votes, and Nidsok the Forgotten will suddenly be remembered is 138
yeah.
votes. So the Equidon cornering the fish market was weird.
Well, but I mean, they corner the market. Funny. Which market are they cornering? So I guess they're taking over Unfathomable? Like,
corner the fish market?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably taking... Well, because each one, I think... I don't know if these are the houses that are
I think that they're alluding to what the houses are going to be.
Well, we already know what the houses are, right? Yeah, we already know. But there's no Skyborn in here.
Right.
Skyborn will be Nidsok? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there are seven votes here.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was definitely a fun piece of the puzzle.
I mean, that'd be kind of odd to like have a new house come out and then not come in the following set, because that's always been kind of tradition. Like, the set that like a house comes in one set, they always come in the following set.
Geistoid is going to be in the set. So Geistoid isn't listed here. Skyborn isn't listed. There isn't an apparent Skyborn question.
But I thought, no, there's Geistoid in Amber Skies.
Yeah. There's right, no Geistoid question.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's two sets in a row with Geistoid. Amber Skies has Skyborn, but these don't have a Skyborn. So is Skyborn going to only be in one set?
No. I don't think so. It would be very strange if...
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's nothing here specifically saying Skyborn.
Yeah. And they haven't... Yeah, that's true. It would be very strange if Skyborn wasn't in this.
So maybe that's Nidsok. He's been a pirate this whole time. would be cool.
Maybe he's suddenly remembered because he comes back as a pirate or something like that.
That'd be cool.
All right. So that's prophetic visions. That was a cool thing to engage with. And then the next day, I think it was the next day. So the next update was Tokens of Change. Now, here's another spoiler warning. If you don't want spoilers.
Yeah, if you're not on the game, you're not following the game found, and you don't want these spoilers.
Go on to the next chapter.
Skip to the next section. Yep.
All right, okay. So Tokens of Change was the follow-up email on the 23rd. So this came across in the morning, on Tuesday morning, and it features a knight that looks like it's from Sanctum, but it's the icon on the chest is just a little bit different. I was like, what the hell?
It's the same morning. It was within a couple hours of each other.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, look, it's time step for gazing the crystal ball. 8:16 on 4:23. This came out at 10:31 on 4:23.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
No wonder we were so like, oh my God, there's so much going on.
This is awesome. Okay. This is great. So it wasn't the next day. It was the 2 hours later.
Yeah.
So this is a new set
mm-hmm.
coming out that is bringing back the token mechanic. And there's quite a bit of flavor text, lore, talking about the seals around a corrupt vault mm-hmm. And how these 11 seals representing 11 votes, each empowered by the life force of 1,000 champions who had selflessly martyred themselves for the safety of the Crucible. So much sacrifice, thought Redeemer Amara, and barely a token of appreciation. That's funny. Ha ha ha. The dark amber entombed in the vault behind the seals could have been the end of all pure life. Amara was certain of it. Sealing the vault had halted the immediate threat, but the true work had barely begun. So then it continues into the cult of redemption, which is the new house.
And they
they're bringing back token creatures.
Yeah. And they want to purge the dark amber.
And yeah,
they want to purify it.
Yes, yes.
Which makes them a schism from the main Sanctum house.
Yep. And so they preview a token, which is from House Redemption, which is a guardian, which is a 1-power, 2-shield, 2-armor token. The houses are very neat. Dis, Geistoid, Logos, Redemption, Shadows, Skyborn, and Untamed. So there's your second set with Skyborn, right?
Oh, true, true. Yep.
They also preview some cards here. What is it? Swift Induction, which is an action, a Retribution House action. Play, make a token creature. If an enemy creature was destroyed this turn, archive this card. And then Redeemer Amara, which is a 5-power creature, the very Redeemer Amara that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Each time she's a mutant and a priest, and each time an enemy creature or mutant creature is destroyed, make a token creature. So,
that's cool.
All right, so you might be asking yourself, what is a special set? Well, they clarify this a little bit, and they say, well, special sets are things like Unchained and Menagerie and Vault Masters. But some special sets will be released commercially. Menagerie is getting a wider release next month.
Yep, so I saw that too.
Previous to now, Menagerie was only available to retailers who had backed the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Vault Masters has only been available through going to vaults. And those Vault Masters will be tournament legal. Tokens of Change is a special set available to backers of this campaign, including retail backers, and one which plan to release commercial at the very end of 2024. Tokens of Change are going to be tournament legal. Now, here's the thing. Why order, and you can actually add
right,
decks
that, yeah,
right
gonna
now.
Say, we got to make sure it's like, this is something you can add onto your GameFound campaign. Like,
for $12 each.
Yeah, which is discounted from the $15, but you can add on to the campaign and get it with Amber Skies in September.
And that's the big deal.
Yeah.
So retailers who back and people who back will get these when the game found ships, expected September.
Yep.
Otherwise, retailers will get it
not
until end of the year.
Yeah. And that's in addition to more mutation.
Exactly. So
three sets.
There are a lot of sets. So Grim Reminders came out this year.
Yep.
We have Vault Masters 24 that mm-hmm. quote unquote came out this year. We have Amber Skies coming.
Yep.
We have more mutation coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 4 as I count them. And then Tokens of Change. 5 in 2024. 5.
5 sets. Yep.
Amazing.
And Menagerie being open up to retailers as well, which Mm-hmm. So actually six.
Yep. So six was coming to retailers. Menagerie's been available to other, like we said, in a limited
right.
basis.
For people that did the stores mm-hmm. that did the GameFound campaign, but opening that up to other retailers is fantastic. Because mm-hmm. Menagerie is hella fun.
Yep. Absolutely. And so a special set, and they clarify this, a special set for Keyforge constitutes a set that utilizes a past mechanic, narrative, or concept while adding new flair or new ideas. They are published outside the normal annual cadence of two Keyforge releases in 2024. Our core releases are Grim Reminders and Amber Skies. Examples of other special sets are Unchained, Menagerie, Vault Masters. And then, like we said, there will be tournament legal.
And yeah, and that's the things that
Amber Skies. Oh, sorry, I'm going to add this. Should Amber Skies reach the $400,000 stretch goal, each backer will receive one free Tokens of Change pack, Tokens of Change deck.
Right.
It's weird to say pack. In addition to this reveal, interested backers will be able to purchase single packs as add-ons, as we've just already talked about.
Right. And that's something that, you know, talked to our local gamers about too. Is like, why are they doing this and not like and other ways of doing things? Like, it's because they CTP said we're going to have two regular sets a year, but that was, I think, just limited to the GameFound. These other sets are ways to keep the game growing without having the GameFound be supported every
time. Yes, because they are coming to retailers.
Right. I mean, because that's been a criticism a lot of people are having is, oh, another GameFound came in. Okay, here's other sets that will be in retail. You don't have to be a GameFound backer to get this product. Fantastic.
Correct.
Again, it shows that, once again, GG is listening to the players and the fans, and they are delivering.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like GameFound, right? They don't want to. They don't want to support
like
this.
Any kick and that's starter game. Like, yeah, sign. I
absolutely
it.
Understand that.
Yeah,
I get it. Right.
Yeah. Well,
and we'll talk about this later. But at one point, you have to realize the realities of the situation. They need GameFound dollars. They need advanced dollars until this game becomes much more sustainable.
Yeah.
They need the GameFound dollars ahead of these things. And you're right. It's a huge deal that they are basically saying, here's Tokens of Change. It's a brand new set that's not going to be crowdfunded.
Yep.
Really, right? There's no central crowdfunding. There is a little bit of crowdfunding in that we're buying decks. But these are going to be released to retailers in 2024.
Right. Yeah. So like the only difference with the GameFound is like we get free decks if we back it, if it gets 400. But it doesn't say anything about not coming to retail. It's like, this is coming.
Yeah.
Based on this article.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, great. So, here's a set where it'll be at retail, and it didn't matter if you did the crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think of it? Like, I got these, and I didn't have a lot of things to do at work, and I found myself really excited.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yes, the tokens, there was a high variance amongst the tokens.
Well, and
the
tokens
and now
too.
The playtesters and the comp and GG know what's going on there and how they might be utilized.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see, maybe we'll see some tokens come back. We're certainly going to see other tokens in different houses because
right. It's at all this
Disc, Geistoid, Logos, Shadows, Skyborn, Untamed, like all these Geistoid. Houses didn't have tokens.
Yeah. So all of a sudden these houses that never had tokens were, we're going to have even more tokens. That's yep. cool. I'm really interested to see what they're going to give us and a new house to boot with it too. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh, yeah. That's so cool.
And so does it hurt the pocketbook? Of course. Right. But this is a luxury hobby, right? Like this is I think three sets, man. Wow. What's going to take? But you know, I don't have to have 70 decks of each set.
Right.
I just have to have good decks in each set, and I will enjoy the set.
Exactly.
So maybe instead of, you know, I have 70-plus Grim Reminders decks, maybe I only go in for 60 Amber Skies decks and 40 Tokens of Change decks.
Yep, that's still a lot of decks.
So I would rather spend my money on Keyforge decks than spend my money on a lot of other things. I'm not going to start listing stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure my wife would love it if I spent more money on Keyforge decks and less money on cigars.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... I can say that. Because a good cigar is a good cigar, but yeah, a good Keyforge deck lasts forever.
And at a better comparison, probably like just going to see a movie is the cost of a deck.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that's a couple hours of entertainment.
That's the cost of two decks.
Well, yeah, if you go with popcorn so it's like, or you get some decks and hours of entertainment, more than just a couple hours and one and you're done. It's like, no.
Yeah.
You get to keep reusing it and reusing it.
Yeah. And if it's a crappy deck, you still get to play it for 3 or 4 hours and go, okay, it's a crappy deck. Boom. We're done. Right. All right, cool. Well, I'm excited for this. I'm excited for Tokens of Change. I'm excited to see what they have for us. I have 8 decks. I put 8 decks on order. 8 decks is about $96. That's where I stopped.
You stopped at 8, huh?
I did. So, where did you stop? What'd you get?
A case.
A case, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have boxes.
I know.
Which was interesting.
I was just like, I went 6, then I'm like, I tub it at 8, then I went to 12, and then I went back to 6, and I'm like, no, I'm going to go 12.
Well, who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, because I was like, okay, yeah, it's September, and then end of the year, it's like, no, I want them in September when Amber Skies arrive, so I could be like, so many sets at once, yes.
Now, one of the questions, it is going to be tournament legal.
Yeah.
Will it be tournament legal for KFC?
Probably not.
Probably not, because the official release will be in December, right?
And I think that's out there in the tournament guidelines of like, when it's at the retailer or the majority of players have access to it, is what makes it legal.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I think that's been published somewhere. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, but I'm pretty sure that's the case, and that's the only way to be fair. So, of course,
wider distribution.
Of course, at KFC, they probably would have it that people could buy and do something. Maybe it'll be in the goodie bag.
Maybe in the goodie bag. Maybe a sealed tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. Because
KFC is where we get to have just even more fun than everything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool.
Part 2, the middle.
All right. So why become a backer? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I totally understand people not going for this, right? Given $0, like they're going to buy from their retailer. They're going to do this thing. And I started thinking, I was listening to Archon's Corner, their latest episode. I was listening to some other eps and thinking about it and watching online dialogue. And it occurred to me that we said this last time, right? We don't know how much the retailers added to the GameFound campaign for Grim Reminders.
Right.
Because that didn't come out. That's
after the pledges.
Post thing. Pledge maybe another $100,000 that came in. Maybe another $40,000. We have no clue.
Right.
We'd have to track that in some fashion and have somebody on that. And I don't know if anybody did.
That would mean probably all the retailers actually given information. And most retailers aren't. And I don't blame them. Like, yeah. That's how they operate. Like, let's not get into that.
Yeah. So if you don't give, what's the alternative? Right. So, and I'm not asking anybody to give it this $165 level. I'm not asking anybody to do that. Do what you want, but I have a mic. I've bothered to figure out how to use it and how to post it. I've been a part, as we've talked about, we have seen so many of our favorite games stop production with their main company.
Yeah.
Right. And what happens? No matter what happens, if that game ends by the central company, unless it gets picked up immediately by another company, as is the case here, the community fades away to a shadow of what it once was. Android Netrunner was wonderful. It was a growing community. And then, poof, it went away because two companies couldn't get along.
Yep.
And now, while there are releases for the game under a new company name by a fan-run nonprofit.
Yep, no single
game.
It's
a shadow of what it once was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're doing great work, but it's just like here in Colorado, like we had so many stores and local communities, and now it's basically one Wizard's Chest downtown Denver.
And it's not because Wizard's Chest actually sells the product.
Right. It's
that's
the
problem,
are.
Right? When you have players creating the product, they're not getting into the stores, and so the stores have no incentive to offer space.
Right.
It's because those players also spend money on other things at Wizard's Chest that Wizard's Chest is willing to open their doors to them.
Yeah. And they've been there for so long.
And they've been there doing it for so long.
Just like we at Total Escape are been going every Wednesday for years mm-hmm. now. It's like mm-hmm. we're part of the
whatever game they're playing, whatever game we're playing, they support.
Right. And it's rotated.
It would be a lot harder to, but there's also a reason we don't play Netrunner. We did, but they don't sell it.
Yeah.
They can't.
They don't make any money
yeah.
off of that. Like
yeah.
and we really want to support our local game stores, and if there's no product, because we talked to them about that. It's like we had a Netrunner tournament, and it was just like they said it was just awkward for them running it because like mm-hmm. there's no like we did store credit like a la like how Magic works, but it's like but they're not feeding into the store back and forth like having that secondary market. It's just like okay, yeah, they buy some. Maybe some soft drinks and maybe card sleeves or other things, but it's not nearly like here's constant flow of money
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for them.
And when a game goes away, it really sucks, folks. Like,
yeah,
L5, like, and it is hard to get players in. This is a good game. It was hard to get players to come in. It wasn't hard to get players to play Netrunner. Netrunner was one of the entry games, and I sincerely believe, looking at the three games that we've played from FFG since then, not including Keyforge, which are Warhammer 40K Conquest
mm-hmm.
and L5R. L5R was by far the most complex.
Oh, it was so heavy.
It was the hardest one to learn. It was the hardest one to build for. It was crushed under its own design weight.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Fantastic game, but good lord, that weight. Oh.
Oh, yeah. It was a fantastic game for those who were committed to it.
Yeah.
If you weren't committed, you weren't getting new players. I mean, the only reason people came in is because they loved the IP and they played the previous game.
Yeah.
So they were already acclimated to the complexities that this new L5R might entail. Warhammer Conquest. That was a fairly straightforward rule set
mm-hmm.
with very... Well, not very, but complex interactions and a steep learning curve.
Very strategic.
Very strategic. Like, a lot of hidden things. Yeah. Like, Netrunner is the game of hidden information.
Right. But it's also...
Conquest is a game of hidden processing.
Right.
Like, you are processing things in a very strange way, and you have to think so far ahead.
Yeah. Netrunner is asymmetric, whereas Conquest is definitely more like chess. Of like, you didn't make this move right a couple turns ago... You lost and you don't even know it.
Yeah. So Conquest, and then Conquest went away because Fantasy Flight was such a good, was doing mm-hmm. so well with X-Wing.
Yep.
I mean, all reports say.
They were going in the miniatures market.
X-Wing was number one in the miniatures market for a couple of quarters. And so then Games Workshop came by and said, hey, you need to get out of the men's game or we're going to pull all our licensing from you. And
they said, okay.
FFG said, showed two fingers, said, pick one, right?
Yep.
So,
pull that license.
And that license went away, right? So, would that game, I sincerely believe that game would have grown.
Oh, for sure.
It would have totally grown. Now, would it have gotten to the Netrunner size? Who knows?
I don't
Probably
think so.
Not. But Netrunner was by far the best. But we've seen all these games go away for reasons we couldn't control.
Right. And the other part about
L5R died to the pandemic and probably died under its own weight, but not for reasons that we as the player base can control.
And the other part of all that too is like with the different these card games, like we had some awesome communities.
Mm-hmm.
And Netrunner was, besides being probably the best game out of all those, as far as like being easier to teach people, introduce them, but the community was so strong and it just engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something we have with Keyforge.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like it's something that's what drives the game and that's what's continued is like, you know, Netrunner had that very, very special community and Keyforge, I can honestly say, has that same, if not better now, like, cause it's continued to grow and more people are involved and it just, that's what drives games is that community as long as we have the company to back it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess what I'm saying is that those games went away because of things players couldn't control.
Right.
Players can control how much money they give to the game.
Yep.
If you give it the $75 level, that tells GG, okay, we're going to give here. And then if you buy, get your retailer to get in, buy, have your retailer buy whatever they're comfortable with, and then buy from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a slightly delayed thing, but you got to make sure and buy from them.
Yeah. The Game Fund gives GG capital that they don't have. They are, because they are a new company. Mm-hmm. They need the Game Fund campaigns to give them capital to keep operations going until that eventual retail hits.
Yep. Yep. And so don't look at it as glasses half empty, right? Mm-hmm. We got to look at it as glasses half full. This is our opportunity as the player base, as the community, to show we support this game. And so, yes, I understand how people can be anti-Game Fund.
Yeah.
And, you know, sincerely say that, you know, like, and some people are like, we're done, we're out, we're out. I'm like, okay, good. Like, yeah, sorry.
For some people, like, yeah, you play the game for goodbye. X amount of time and you're going to move on.
Yeah.
Interest change. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to bring down the game in the same process.
right.
Like,
well, and there's a lot of people who leave, and you don't know they leave, and they leave, and they're golden, right?
Yeah. Or and then they might come back.
But yeah, and Big Z is a good example of this. Big Z, it's well widely known that he's basically out. This year in his KeyForge for him is his last year, and then he's going to go about his way. But he doesn't wish ill upon us.
No,
I think I was having a few flashbacks to the days of Netrunner and Conquest and L5R when people would come in early in those games' releases and say, "Well, this is FFG. The game's going to die. Good luck. Have fun." And you're just like, "Why are you pissing in my Cheerios, man? Like, why are you bothering? Why do you want to get down on my game if I'm enjoying it?"
Yeah,
and then they'll come back 4 years later. After Netrunner ended, like Netrunner went from 2013 to 2016, right? Lasted that long?
2017, I think.
So almost 4 years. Those very same, and I'm going to say assholes here, those very same assholes came back and said, "See, I told you, FFG." I'm like, "I got 4 years of fun. What were you doing that 4 years?"
Great, exactly.
Fuck off, dude.
Yeah.
Like, come on,
there was
man.
4 years of just many great games.
And I had a... I was looking at Conquest stuff this morning before we lined in. I came in. I'm like, because I got some cool ideas for some things, and I was looking at some Conquest stuff, and I'm like, this is such a good game. So I'm like, man, I should break out my cards, build some decks, and we can play again. Like, that's like, I don't think that about Netrunner, and I certainly don't think about L5R, because one is it's been a much shorter time with L5R, but I couldn't even begin to tell you what the rules for L5R are. Like, I have an action, right? I don't know. So here's what I'm saying. I'm making my argument for y'all to fund Game Fund in some fashion or another, which is, this is our opportunity to not let our game die.
Yeah.
And maybe you can't afford the $165 level. Maybe you can't afford the $450, $1,000, the $1,500, the $2,000. I toyingly said, you know, Brenda, like, I'm getting, you know, I'm cool, dude. So like, I could spend $2,000 on KeyForge. And she looked at me like, yeah, whatever. So even though I would like to buy in to get my game in my face in the game, I don't think it's going to happen because I can't get it past my spouse. And that's okay. But if you are keeping your money away because you are, I guess I should say, if you are not funding Game Fund because you don't believe, you want to file a protest with Ghost Galaxy, it's not, I don't think it's going to work.
Like, yeah.
That doesn't, like, that if doesn't you
can't
help anybody.
Just to clarify, it's like, if you can't do it like for financial reasons, that's perfectly legitimate reason not to back the campaign.
Yeah.
Like, but if you have the funds and you're just not doing it because you've got gripes with GG, I can't get on board with that, because like, then you're not helping the game stay in production.
Yeah.
At that point.
And if you buy from your retailer, that's a good way to go about it.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good way to come in. But there is no, I'm going to protest this by not spending money. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, by not buying it, it's like, okay. And that seems like, if you're doing it because you're just done with the game, move on. Okay. You don't need to splatter that everywhere in social media.
And I don't
I
don't think I've seen that. But again, our past experience,
like, that's what we're used to seeing in these wonderful games we play before. It's like, there's just community members that just like, just crap all over us. It's like, hey, but we still believe in the game. We still love the game. We want to play the game. You don't need to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And again, I have not seen this in the
We're not saying that, but KeyForge community at all. It just those memories are there for us because we've seen it so many times.
Yeah, this one dude, he would chime in on Card Game DB, which was the kind of the database that housed the FFG LCGs. He'd chime in on Card Game DB and he'd chime in on Board Game Geek, and we hated him for it. He'd chime in on Reddit too.
Right.
Like, come on, man, just leave. Like it's a guy coming into a store saying, you know, coming into a store Friday Night Magic and saying, Magic the Gathering sucks. Imagine him doing that every week or sitting on the front porch of this very same game store and just preaching that Magic the Gathering sucks. That's akin to what he was doing. Like, dude, you're not, like, why are you spending that energy? Do something positive, right? Right? Do something positive with that energy. Anyhow, that's my, I think I'm done with that. I think... Yes, GG could totally do things better. Right?
Yeah, but
if you're always thinking half empty, you're never really allowing yourself to have a lot of fun.
And that's what. But again, as we said, I said earlier with part one, with the hey, Cordy. as I said earlier with GG, though, is like yes, they are listening to us. Like we're getting another set coming out that's not through the GameFound campaign. They are continuously improving, and. You know, next year's OP, I mean, yes, there could be more with local support, but it could be more with OP, but they're really concretely shown, like, if the retailers back this, here's all these benefits, here's product that they can sell.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely something that, like, from, whoa, we didn't have anything. Now it's like, now it's even more concrete of, like, this is what the brick and mortar stores are going to get, and that's fantastic.
Right.
So they are improving, but, you know... There's always room for improvement, but what we have is great. We have a game that we love to play.
Yep, yep.
Part three, the conclusion.
All right, so one thing I want to reiterate, I've heard this on a couple things, and we didn't really talk about this explicitly when we were talking about our Vault Tour experience, but we had, like, I want to stress, we had a ton of fun. There was
Malort excluded.
We've talked about the level of stress and the level of pressure that people seem to be not under any longer.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, folks, like I'm listening to Archon's Corner. I'm listening to Help for Yourself. I'm finding like they're going to New York and they're going to San Antonio and people are going to Vegas and so on and so forth. And I am honestly. Sad that I'm not going to New York, that Rochester, I'm not going to San Antonio. And this is all because of timing. It's nothing I've chosen. It's just timing. I'm honestly sad and I'm really excited about going to Vegas. So I'm excited about going to the first one and I'm excited about going to the last one in the United States. I think those are the first and last.
Yeah.
So like, I really want to go there. And that tells me that I had a ball.
Oh yeah.
Right, I want to see these people again. I want to play KeyForge in real life with different people over and over and over again. I'm looking forward to Vegas. I'm looking forward to KFC. You're going to go to Gen Con.
Hell yeah.
So you're missing Vegas. You're missing those smaller events, but you're going to Gen Con.
But
so.
And every time like these other podcasts or like in Discord, people talk about like they're going to the Vault Tour. I'm just like, I can see people like, that makes me sad. I'm like, I wish I could go to that. But again, it was like, it's the timing. And it's like, but here's how much I'm excited about it is like, they've posted the international Vault Tour dates for Italy and Vietnam. And then I saw the dates. And again, I was sad because I was like, I really considered going, but it's like the dates just do not work with my work schedule.
Oh, that's too bad.
But there's still more international Vault Tours to be announced. Yeah. So I'm like, I really am looking at potentially going internationally because like, I like to travel.
Yeah,
and it's like a Vault Tour is a great booking for a vacation in some other country. I'm not going to go just to play in a Vault Tour. I'm not like Big Z here. I'm not because I actually do like to fly and travel. Like, it's still a fantastic story. I love that about Big Z. Like, but for me, it's like you know, it's like, oh, Vietnam, that'd be a cool place to visit. Like, because Doug went there, he still talks about how much he loved the food there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm like, yeah, if I could go that weekend and then stay before and after, I could have lots of Vietnamese food and do a vault tour there. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But it's
Yeah, very cool. The international stuff is actually one that I've considered.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's a whole different ball game. And for me with a spouse and kids, it's a whole different decision tree. So anyways, look to go international if you can. I mean,
I mean, my biggest problem is like for extended periods of time, I had to put in a leave request back in February through September because I have a crazy boss. So it's like, and it's like, well, I know what Gen Con is. So I got that off. So, you know, I don't think there'll be a vault tour right before Gen Con, but if there was the weekend before, I've got that weekend off.
Okay, good. Cool. I think that's all we got for this week, folks.
Yeah.
Jason will be coming to us. We'll be doing remote recordings for the next couple of weeks because you'll be in Austin, Texas. And we'll be maybe even try to bring in some special guests. We'll see.
Yeah, and then if anyone out there is listening and knows good places in Austin to play KeyForge, I have not been good on posting that in the social media because I've also just finished moving. And and also playing on TCO a lot.
Like, okay, so. All right. Cool.
But yeah, if you got any place in Austin, like I'm gonna be there for 2.5 weeks, I'd love to have a reason to bring my decks with me and play some KeyForge. And then you can see my for those at the Vault Tour that saw, like, that's a lot of cool tokens. I'm like, yeah, it's my dead game container. Like I have all the games we were talking about earlier, L5R, Conquest. Netrunner. I have all those tokens to play with KeyForge.
And even X-Wing,
which I never played. But it's like I got all these tokens from these games, and that's what I use for my tokens.
Cool.
If you'd like to join the discussion, have ideas for future episodes, feedback, or questions for us, you can contact us through our Discord or via email at thewarcast2023@gmail.com. Please leave a review. It helps others find the cast. Thanks for listening, and remember,
forge ahead.